It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're having a wonderful study in the 15th chapter of Revelation, Revelation chapter 15, and we're going to enjoy reading and studying these precious scripture verses. And so please that you would open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 15, and we'll begin reading with the first verse. So while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us, our phone number here at the church is 217-847-2717. If you'd like to send us an email, that would be parkviewbible@gmail.com. If you would like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org, and that would be parkviewbiblechurch.org is our website. I hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today as we begin Revelation chapter 15, and we're going to read the chapter, Revelation chapter 15. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having their harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, having their breasts girded with the golden girdle. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who lived forever and ever. The temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. Let's begin with prayer after the reading of the scripture today. Father, we just thank you for your precious word. It's sad that this kind of judgment must come, but we know that you will come, the wicked will be destroyed, and Father, that's what this is all talking about. For so long, the church has been criticized and condemned. And today, in this scripture verse, it is made right. So please, dear Lord, just guide and lead us through this study. And I hope there's no one that is listening today that does not know you as their Lord and Savior. It's so simple and so easy, dear Lord. We know it is. You have offered to us salvation free. All we need to do is accept you as our Lord and Savior, knowing that you died on the cross of Calvary for our sins. You died on the cross and you rose again. You're at the right hand of the Father right now. Please, dear Lord, please, please, that you will touch every heart. And those that do not know you as their Savior today, they will. They'll accept you. They'll believe. And Father, I just ask that you will take these scripture verses and touch all of our hearts. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have looked at this first verse, kind of gotten started with the first verse. Last time we were together, we had the seven angels, the seven last plagues. John sees this sign, you know, and we have looked in the past, in verse 12, chapter 1, John saw a great sign in heaven, a woman. in Revelation 12:3, he saw another sign, a red dragon. And now in 15:1, another sign. This one is marvelous, great and marvelous. A wonderful, we could say. What makes it so great and marvelous? It is full wrath, the full wrath of God. Judgment is coming. Justice is coming. It is about to be poured out upon the persecutors of Israel. It's about to be poured out upon the haters of God. God has been so patient and waited so long for folks to come, and they have refused to come. And so, this marvelous, this great and marvelous, these words that we find here in this first verse, and I saw another angel from heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven plagues, last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. This great and marvelous, we find in verse 1 here, are the first words of the song that is sung down in verse 3. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. What wonderful words that we have there. So we find that there's a song that's sung, and that song because of the power and strength. And oh, it is a horrible, most terrible time upon the earth. Why do we call it great and marvelous? It's because we know that God is ever so patient, and He has waited and waited and waited and waited, and He's called and called and called and called, and people have refused and refused and refused. Judgment's coming. There is a time. There's an end of the calling. There's an end of the coming. The pouring out of the vials of the wrath will be brief, but it will be terrible, and it will be tremendous in power. Words cannot describe the pain, the suffering, and the misery that this will bring. These vials that are spoken of here in this first verse of chapter 15 of Revelation, these vials, this wrath that is handed out, is true and righteous. Just and true are thy ways, the third verse says in this song that is sung. Just and true are thy ways. God deals in righteousness. God cannot be untrue. God cannot be unrighteous. His judgment is right, is righteous. So understand, even though this is going to be the most horrible time upon earth, that it is just and it is right. Our God brings judgment to this earth. This third verse, again in the second verse, and I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass having the harps of God. And so we find those waiting, preparing here. And what a wonderful scripture verses as we continue, because we have looked in the past at the first and the second, and now we find ourselves at the third verse. The third verse. And they sing, these folks, I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast. In other words, they did not take the mark of the beast. They were saved through this terrible time. Now, I've shared with you before, and I hope in this case that I am mistaken, but I believe the Scripture is telling us that once you have heard the gospel now, and the church is raptured, and the tribulation begins, if you have heard it on this side of the tribulation, you will not be able to be saved during the tribulation. You'll have to go into that time. You will receive the mark of the beast, and you will go through a most horrible judgment and then cast into the lake of fire for eternity. That's what's going to happen to you if you do not believe only solely in Jesus Christ and his precious blood as it was shed on Calvary for you. Believe that he is your Savior. Believe in your heart. Whosoever confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead shall be saved. Please, please, please trust in Jesus. So we find this group, them that have gotten victory over the beast, over his image, and over his mark, and over the number, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. So it appears that they have been separated, and judgment is coming. And now in the third verse, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Now the literal reading of the King of saints in the Greek should read, thou King of nations, thou King of nations. Jesus is not the King of the saints. We are members of his body. We are the New Testament church, but he is the King of Israel, King of kings, Lord of lords, but he is the King of the earth, King of all nations, is what this should say. Nowhere is he referred to in the Bible as King of saints. The saints will reign with him. They'll reign with him here upon earth for 1,000 years, and we have that back in Revelation chapter 1, the 6th verse. And so if you look there with me, Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. What a wonderful scripture verse. Please, that you look to the Word of God and we study the Word of God. The nations here are about to be dealt with in final fury and righteous judgment. Therefore, Jesus Christ is declared the King of nations. He will put down all enemies. He'll put down their power and their rule, and he'll destroy them. And we have that back in Jeremiah. And so please look with me to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10. Verse 7, Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 7. Who would not fear thee, O King of nations? There's those wonderful words. For to thee doth it appertain, for as much as among all the wise men of the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is none like unto thee. He is all-powerful, and he will destroy the enemy. All should fear the Lord. We look in verse 4. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. Who shall not fear thee? All should fear the Lord and glorify his name. This verse gives three reasons. The first, thou art holy. This tells us that God alone is worthy of worship. God alone is worthy of worship. These three reasons, wonderful reasons, and I've given one, thou art holy. The second, for all nations shall come and worship before thee. The next, thy judgments or thy righteousness are as righteousnesses are made manifest. Now let's go back now and let's look at thou art holy, the first. And if you'll follow me in verse 4, you'll find these. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. That's the first one. This tells us that God alone is worthy of worship. At this time, the nations were worshiping the beast. The cry to the nations here is, fear God. That's the cry. Now let's look at the second part in this fourth verse. All nations shall come and worship before thee. Never in the past have all nations worshiped God. They never will until this time. But there is a day coming when all nations will bow at his feet. Now that doesn't mean that all nations and all peoples will be saved. It just means that they will come before him. Every knee shall bow. The third here is thy judgments. Thy judgments are made manifest, or thy righteousnesses. And you notice it's plural, judgments. Note the plural word, judgments. Be careful, recognize that. The righteous act of God in these terrible, horrible judgments, which are contained in these vials of wrath that are about to be poured out. We need God's grace. We must have God's grace. And so, you know, you look at it as judgments, but it's actually God's righteousness coming out, because God is a perfect and righteous God. After these, we find in the fifth verse, and that's exactly the words that are said, and after that, I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of testimony in heaven was opened. After that, after these things. Note a change of the process in this line of judgments. These vials of judgments seem to be in a group by themselves. Two things about the vials that differ from the seals and the trumpets as their judgments came. The throne in heaven is the source of the seal and the trumpet judgments. But the temple is the source of the vials. The throne was of the seals and trumpets. Now we come and the temple is the source of the vials. The temple takes the place of the throne in the vial judgments. These will be the greatest in their level of violence. The vials contain the wrath of God against the organized systems of evil. Men and their systems, men and their ways will be destroyed. Something to really notice here. The tabernacle, the testimony in heaven, was opened. Opened. This is the residence of Almighty God. And the door is opened. The tabernacle of the testimony, the witness, the testimonies to the rights of God. These have been openly denied by the Antichrist. What did John actually see? Did he see a priest? No. Did he see the high priest? No. What he saw was seven angels coming out. He saw seven angels. And after I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened, and the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, having their breasts girded with golden girdles. So he saw the seven angels coming out as the tabernacle was open, carrying vials, bowls. These containers were filled to the brim with the wrath of God. In the past, the tabernacle, the temple, was of grace, of mercy, of long-suffering. You see, when Moses received the plans to the tabernacle. He received that on Mount Sinai. What else did Moses receive upon Mount Sinai? He received the law. The law kills. The law destroys. We can't keep it. There's no way we can keep it. It kills. It destroys. And so there was no means. God brought that law to show us how evil and how wicked we are, not for us to try to keep it. But a lot of man today are trying to keep the law. They think they can keep it well enough that it'll get them a ticket to heaven. It won't. They can't. It will not. That path is not there for you. It has to be by the grace of God. And so God, at the same time that gave the law, the Ten Commandments, he also then handed to us the tabernacle, which again was grace and mercy. It showed us God's patience and long-suffering. It gave us the plan of salvation, this tabernacle, this building did. But this very same building now, which is in heaven, God made it very clear. There was one he built here upon earth, had Moses built, and then there was one in heaven, a twin to it, identical. And now this building, this door opens up, but it opens for judgment. And this judgment is to destroy the wicked. And as we look and we find the condition of these seven angels that's coming out of the temple, having seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen. Now, pure and white linen describes the righteous character of the mission of these seven angels. And the golden girdles that it talks about here at the end of verse 6 is his divine righteousness. As we look and find in verse 7 now, one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God who liveth forever and ever. This wild beast here is not something that's evil, and it's not a wild beast. It's just one of the beasts. Remember back in the scripture when we had the four beasts and they praised and honored God? This is one of those four. Now, the temple was filled with the smoke of the glory of God. So we have the four angels coming, the seven angels coming out. We have one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. No man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. Three steps. First, the angels were commissioned and equipped. Next, one of the living creatures, one of these four beasts, living creatures, gives to each of the angel a single vial. And the angel cannot act until God gives them the command. You see, God is long-suffering, God is patient, God is good, God is kind. These are all the things man is expecting, demanding of God. But the one they forget, the one they miss, the one they don't talk about, is the final, consuming fire. Righteous judgment. His righteousness is coming out. Righteous judgment. We didn't read into verse 16, but we're going to start. We don't have a lot of time. We've got a few minutes left. So we're going to begin here in the 16th verse. I'm going to read down through the first vial, and then we'll see if we get any further than that. And so we begin now from right where we left off in chapter 15 on to verse 16. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. They were waiting for the command. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth. And there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them that worshipped his image. What a horrible day. A great noise. Said, go their ways. Each angel had a specific set of orders. Each angel was to go their separate ways. Each angel is to pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth, and each angel was instructed to where the contents of the vial were to be poured. All of it was very, very clear. Everything was according to the work and the way of God. At the close of chapter 15, you know, we saw the temple in heaven filled with smoke. Smoke from the glory of God. The temple was so filled with smoke that nothing inside could be seen and no one could enter in. Nothing will deter the coming of this judgment. It will never be turned off or turned away. It is coming. Three very sad statements I'm going to make here. Because you see, the world and its wicked ways following Antichrist has crossed the line. They have come to a position of no return, of no turning. If you'll notice, there was no place for intercession. You'll notice there was no place for a blood offering. Please notice that there was no place for mercy. None. The time had ended. There is no place. Judgment must come. Judgment will come immediately. There will be no further delay. During this pouring out of the vials of wrath, God is hidden in the dark cloud of His glory inside His temple, in His house. You know, Moses could not enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereupon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Find that back in Exodus chapter 40, verse 34 and 35. In 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 10 and 11, the priests could not enter, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. It is not the glory of the Lord that filled the temple, but the smoke of the glory of the Lord. We have the glory of God in judgment here. We're going to move back just a second here. I wanted to introduce the 16th chapter before we really talked about the 8th verse of chapter 15. The temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God. Again, in Exodus, it was the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. The smoke of the glory of the Lord. In 1 Kings chapter 8, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the tabernacle. Here is the smoke of the glory of the Lord. We have, again, the glory of God in judgment here. It says, great noise, a great voice. This great voice refers to Christ, to God, to the angels, to the living creatures, to the altar, to the throne. These voices, these strong voices, these loud voices, these great voices, that's all statements have been made in Revelation. We find 8 times, 7 of these times they have been to do with God's judgment. In Revelation 4, 5, 8, 5 through 13, 10, 3 and 4, 11, 19, and 16, 18. Great voice is the holy wrath brought on by the activities here on earth. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?